The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Hey, welcome back. Okay, we're going to use a video. This happened yesterday. Sleepy, creepy Joe Biden, President Biden. Super creepy, very sleepy, very strange behavior yesterday, which is just the norm anymore. I'm going to use that clip in a little bit. You can hear that to set up the question that I want you to call in today. Before we do that, we got some really great news, just some awesome things that the Lord is doing. At a couple of local abortion clinics, one in Chapel Hill, North Carolina, another one in Raleigh, North Carolina, here where I'm at. But I'm going to get to this the creepy Joe thing from yesterday in a press conference. It's just bizarre, weird behavior, and I want to ask you something about that. What do you attribute that to? What do you think's going on with the president? And then that will lead to the bigger question today, which I put on Facebook earlier and have had hundreds and hundreds of people answering, which is take your pick, and you can't pick both. Okay, you can't do that. It's either or. So DeSantis or Trump 2024. You've got to pick one. One's going to run. DeSantis or Trump. I'm not saying that declaratively. I want to gauge where you're at. DeSantis or Trump. You can't mix the ticket. You can't say Trump at the top, DeSantis vice president. That is not an option. It's either got to be Trump or DeSantis. So that's my question for you. When we hit the second break to the rest of the show, the second segment to the rest of the show, we're going to talk about those presidential politics and Joe Biden. But first, let's talk to our good friend Sharon Dooley, who's a sidewalk missionary with Love Life, because God continues to do just some amazing things at outside of abortion clinics in the lives of these men and women that are showing up there. And oftentimes, as Sharon has said in the past, this is a ministry of rejection. Most of the time, death is what happens there, but occasionally life. And when that happens, we celebrate it. Sharon, how are you, sis?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you. Just love how you're so bubbly, despite the fact that you're out there at the clinic 5 days a week. So which story do you want to start with? Do you want to talk about what happened today at Chapel Hill at the Planned Parenthood Clinic, or what happened a couple weeks ago at the Drake Circle Clinic when I was there that day? Which one?
Well, I'm going to tell you about Drake, but first I want to say I literally just got an email from one of our saves in January. She had her baby today, Anna Giselle. Welcome to the world.
Wow, amen. That's so cool. Praise the Lord. That's great.
So, yes. But, you know, these things that we were talking about in Chapel Hill and Drake, you know, you imagine people come and you imagine, like you said, they end the lives of their children and they leave. And about 2 weeks ago we were at Drake. And a young man drove up, and we went out and talked to him in the car. And, of course, the escorts, who are still concerned, tried to block us. He finally got to drive into the parking lot, and a woman ran out to the car and said, "Give me the money," right? So we gave her the money, and then he spent the rest of an hour, probably hour and a half or so, with the escort. During that time, all of us, people that didn't even speak before, teenage girls that didn't speak before, older men that didn't speak before, we all went over and pleaded, "Let us help you. What can we do? What's it going to take?" And after a while, we pretty much felt like nothing was going to happen. Right, Steve?
Yeah. My heart was so agitated and cold and angry at this young guy, because he just kind of stood there and took it. And we continued to talk to the escorts, the workers there at the clinic, and then went down at the base of the building and acted like nothing was fazing him at all, like he was waiting for an order at Chick-fil-A or something. Yeah, my heart was definitely not in the right place.
Exactly. And I know that so many people left that day thinking, well, that was another one that we didn't save. Yet, if you linger, if you spend more time at the clinic, oftentimes at the very end of the day, you see something amazing, as we did. And we were all getting ready to pray and leave, and the mom drives out with the dad walking beside the car, and he shouts over to us that we saved our babies.
Babies.
We're having twins.
Wow.
Twins, yes.
Wow.
Look at God, right? And so, you know, that you know they're going to need some help. So we are going to help them. But after she left, he came over. Every person hugged him. He has a whole new family. We prayed with him. Somebody asked him if he wanted to accept the Lord. He wasn't quite ready for that. Yeah, but, yeah. You know, it was a beautiful, beautiful save at the end of what we thought would be yet another disappointing attempt at saving lives. So,
yeah.
You know, you never know what God's going to do. And I know that God must have given them twins for a reason.
Yeah,
if
that's
it
right.
was if it was not twins, I feel like they would have felt like this was no other special person. Just,
yep.
Yeah. You know, worth killing.
It was really amazing. As soon as I got that text that day, I was like, oh, me of little faith. which is logical, you know, like you always say, it's a ministry of rejection most of the time, but we should never give up on our faith because we know what God's desire is. And every once in a while in his providence, things change. And we just praise the Lord for that. So Chapel Hill today, Planned Parenthood. Let's talk about that one. Our brother Greg was out there.
So let me find that. He usually goes out there on Fridays. And so he was out there today and he has a little team out there. And he sends us this note, and he says, two babies rescued in Chapel Hill. There was a mom that was really struggling because she had come over there to that group over in front of Chapel Hill that's praying. She came over there several times to speak with them and then came out later and said that she changed her mind. And the amazing thing about this is another couple was watching this, and as they saw how we ministered, how Greg and his team ministered to this one couple, they came over and said, we decided to keep our baby. Two children were saved this morning.
Yeah.
you don't see that. I think that second couple even got to speak with Greg.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but God is at work. He is at work. This is his business. Our
That's
job
right.
is just to show up.
That's right. That's right. And then if you don't show up, you miss it. And that's the amazing thing about it and the awesome thing about it. Sharon, God bless you. I love you, my sister. And thank you for leading the charge and being such a great example. I'll see you soon.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye. And so that's like, hey, I want a piece of that. Well, you can, but you're just going to have to get your rear end out of bed on Saturday morning and get to a Love Life location, which you can find at lovelife.org or any other abortion clinic, or go there by yourself. You don't need to have an army with you. You already do. Right? Think, my friend. You don't go anywhere alone. It's an awesome thing. Lovelife.org. I'll be at Drake Circle tomorrow, which is in Raleigh. There's people at the Chapel Hill Planned Parenthood. And I'm telling you, you'll see miracles. If you stick it out, if you come often enough, you will see lives changed. It's really awesome. Lovelife.org, 9 a.m. on Saturdays. Every Saturday for 40 weeks. Don't miss it. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Are you ready? You're ready for some creepy action? Creepy action! Which can happen, and does happen, I would say, pretty much every day, unfortunately, with the President of the United States. Now, I'm going to be snarky, and I'm going to sound kind of ugly, but I actually do have a part of my heart that's kind of like, oh, this is just really sad, and I feel for the guy. I think he's being used by a lot of people, not the least of which would be his wife, who's finally officially in the White House. That would be Mrs. Biden. The first lady, and Joe's in there, and I don't know if Joe knows all that much about where he is or what he's doing. I mean, he's partially cognitive, but it seems like it's getting worse. So we're going to play this. This is from yesterday at the press conference, and he goes in whisper mode. Now, this is a guy that likes to smell the hair of other people, particularly women, particularly younger women. And there's just the whole cognitive, deficit that's growing and getting more and more obvious by the day. So there's that. So what do you think's going on there with Joe Biden? And then as a result of that, we ask this other question, 2024, Trump or DeSantis, all right? Trump or DeSantis. You can't call in and say Trump president, DeSantis vice president. Nope, not an option. You get to pick yourself. You get to pick who's going to run against Joe Biden or Kamala Harris. In 2024, do you pick Trump or do you pick DeSantis to run against whichever one of the two is president at the time? Okay. So Biden, Harris, and then you got to pick either Trump or DeSantis to run against them in 2024. That's what I want to know. And what do you think What do you think about the president cognitively? What do you think's happening there with President Biden and what's going on with his thinking, with his speech, with his behavior? What do you think? 866-348-7884. The same number as always, by the way. 866-348-7884. Or perhaps it's easier just to think in terms of 866-34-TRUTH. You can do that on your keyboard as well on your phone, right? You look for the little number, the letters. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-34-TRUTH, or 866-348-7884. Number one question, what do you think is going on with Joe Biden? Number two question, it's your pick, Trump or DeSantis to run against him and or Kamala Harris in 2024. 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. Okay, let's play this clip. It's about 24 seconds or so. Yesterday, Joe Biden talking about some of the things they've the infrastructure bill and stuff. And just listen to the way he chooses to communicate. All right, let's go.
$1 billion relief so far. They're going to be getting checks in the mail that are consequential. I wrote the bill on the environment.
Why is he whispering?
Pay them more.
Why is he whispering?
This is an employees bargaining chip now.
What's with the eyes?
What's happening?
What's happening?
I got...
I'm the president of the United States. What do you think? We pass it.
Play it again. Just rewind it. Play it again. What do you think is going on here? 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. What's the deal with our president? Play it again.
I got them. $1.9 trillion relief so far. They're going to be getting checks in the mail that are consequential. I wrote the bill on the environment. Pay them more. This is an employees bargaining chip now. What's happening? I got them. $1.9 trillion relief so far. They're going to be getting checks in the mail that are consequential.
Listen,
I wrote the bill.
I wrote the bill.
On the environment.
On the environment.
All right, stop it.
More.
I can't take it. Okay. All right, you tell me. Okay, please. Please call in. Because I'm trying to check my heart here. I'm trying to make sure I'm not just being all snarky and condescending and rude and heartless. 866-348-7884. Pick up the phone and just dial the number. What do you think is going on with the president? What is that? What's happening there? 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. Hello? Is anybody here? Anybody there? Anybody home? Anybody there? 866-348-7884. Or 866-34-TRUTH, what is the deal with the president? The weird, creepy, because the whispering thing. And then he says, I wrote the bill. Guess what? Presidents don't write bills. Oh, where does it say that?
In the Constitution.
What's that?
Oh, it's just this old document. Don't worry about it.
You don't write bills, sir. Not one single president writes bills. Now, you can suggest things. You can suggest legislation. Put it in a memo. But you don't write a bill. That is not how our government works. They write the bills in Congress. That's the legislative branch. And so there's that. And then the House and the Senate check back and forth. And if they pass two different, slightly different versions of the bill that they wrote, then it goes into a conference committee where they nail out the differences so that they can agree on it. Then they, okay, we're fine with this. And then they send it to the president, who doesn't write the bill. And then he has a chance to either sign it or veto it. But what's going on with the president? Okay. This is alarming. This is 25th Amendment kind of stuff. What's going on with the president of the United States? I'm just curious. How are you reading this? Am I just being a jerk? Is it just me? What's going on? Let's go to Leroy in Columbia, South Carolina. Leroy, thanks for calling. What do you think's going on?
Yes, sir. I think that we should spend more time with prayers on our president, with Trump and Biden. I think that it's getting out of hand. We can't change things what God's already got set up, but we can pray. If the Lord would come back today, What do you think he would say? Both sides are wrong. Both sides, and we're living in times, pal, that we need the grace of God. We need change of hearts. We've got things that's happening in our community that's more important. A teenager 2 weeks ago kills a man's cows and cuts out his tongue and his ears, claims that the cows was possessed. I mean, we're living in times, brother.
I agree just about with everything you're saying. But I would also well, let me add something, Leroy, because I'm about to hit the commercial break. I would also add that we can also, because you don't know what I do with my time, so you don't know how often I pray for the president or how fervently I pray for the president.
No, you don't know for me either.
Right, exactly. But I would also say, it's okay to engage other issues, and we can talk about the president, and we can be concerned about his mental health, and we can pray. We can do all that stuff. We can walk and chew gum at the same time. I think we can do all of those things. I don't think I'm being mutually exclusive.
Yes, sir, but what has happened is all of this bickering amongst one another is causing radical Republicans and extreme left. I mean, it's not bringing no one together, brother. And,
well,
you know,
again,
it's just something that sails the news.
Sure. Well,
you
again,
know, on both
again,
sides. Both sides. Well, may I finish, sir?
No, I'm up against a commercial break, so unfortunately you can't because I got to get to the commercial.
All right.
The clock always wins.
Well,
but
I appreciate
your point. So please stay tuned in because I'll talk about it. I'll address a couple of things. I'll say a couple more things when we come back. I appreciate your points. I really do. I just don't agree with them all. We'll be right back.
Oh, angels sent from above. You know you make my world.
Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. And I really, if you were listening in the last segment, I really do. And if Leroy, you're still listening, I really do appreciate your points. You don't know me. I don't know you. Anybody that's known me for a while has definitely seen me change a lot over the last 10 years in terms of political engagement. My point isn't to be unnecessarily divisive. Sometimes in my sin, I do that. Sometimes in my sin, whether it's Facebook or coming in here during the show, I throw mud because I get ticked off and frustrated and I decide I'm just going to hit back. I'm going to throw mud. And then I'm like, oh, okay. Sorry, Lord. I was totally in my flesh there. That was sinful. I confess that. I repent of that. And that happens. It happens sometimes here on the air. Okay. Yep. Yeah, confession. I'm there. That happens. But then oftentimes, and this isn't just Leroy, I've heard many people say this, you know, there's so much division, there's too much division, and then we're mocking or doing this or doing that, whatever way you want to judge my words or my topic selection. And then it's like, what, are we trying to win a popularity contest? Because the scriptures say quite clearly, to those who are perishing, we are the aroma of death. Now, don't make it any worse than it already is by being a jerk. But if you think by winning a popularity contest, you're going to win people to Christ, first of all, you don't draw people to Christ. God does. You don't convict them of their sin. The Holy Spirit does. And it's not you. It's God's kindness that leads them to repentance. Now, I don't want to be unnecessarily divisive. And in the church, there are some hills to die on. But we also have to have grace and mercy for one another. So if I think you talk about politics too much and you think I don't talk about it enough, okay, we can have that discussion while remaining brothers and sisters in Christ who treat each other with mercy and grace and dignity and patience and love. Still, we can actually agree to disagree on certain things. That's fine. But again, I said on the break on Facebook Live, I sleep probably 7 hours a day, which means I have 17 hours a day when I'm awake. You know what I can do with 17 hours in a day as hyperactive and crazy as I am? A lot. I can question the president and pray for him. I can write a devotional. I can pray in general. I can love on people. I can spend time with people. I can disciple people. I can be discipled all in a day. So I think we can walk and chew gum all at the same time. But I totally understand the spirit and the concern behind what Leroy said, and I appreciate that. And in many ways, I agree. In some ways, I don't. Okay? So that's the deal. Just wanted to say that. Let's go to Meredith, who's calling in from Charlotte. Meredith, thanks for holding. Go right ahead.
Hey, Steve. I just wanted to say that I worked in the medical field for about 20 years, and I work with psych patients and geriatrics. And I feel like with Biden, it's not – I know people say dementia, but it's almost like psychosis a little bit, or I really think maybe they're drugging him. I mean, that sounds crazy, but it's just dementia, to me, what I've seen throughout my years, is not the same as what his characteristics are. It's just different from my experiences, in other words.
So you would say, Meredith, from a mental health standpoint, it's clear that the man is actually not healthy.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely. And it shocks me that they actually let him speak out as much as they do with how he is being, especially like the what you just played. I saw that.
Yeah.
The whisper, the fumbling of his words, and plus at moments he seems cognitive, and then he doesn't.
Right.
So
right.
With dementia, it's typically in the evenings, from my experiences, and it's more irritation, depression. It's not this. It's almost like psychosis. It's like he's everywhere. And like I said, that's just my experience. I have worked in psych and with geriatrics, but that was just my opinion.
Yeah, I think that's very good, Meredith. Thanks so much for calling in and sharing that. I appreciate it. And that's why you've seen him do this when the press is around, and he goes, "Well, I wish I could answer your questions, but they told me I can't." And I'm always like, "Who's they? And who is it? You're the president of the United States. You have handlers, yes, but they're not the president, or are they?" Right, so now you start to sound a little kooky, but it isn't, because things are off, right? Let's go to Trey in Winston-Salem. Trey, I appreciate you calling, buddy. How are you? Thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Good, Steve. How you doing?
I'm good, thank you.
Good. I wasn't going to call in, but I was kind of chuckling a little bit when you were playing the clip. I'm going to be honest with you. It is past time for people to stop this just pray thing. We've got to put Gideon's army. We need legs on the prayers at this point in time. It's time to step up. Not just to sit there and pray, but it's time to get busy. Like, if you want to talk about a guy that's dealing with possession and all that, it's time to go talk to those people, see if they need anything, offer help. It's past time for this prayer thing and think, well, I prayed. We're past that right now. We're in the last of the last days. And it's time to put the rubber on the road and put the feet where the mouth is. And, we're past that. www.bitchute.com. You can tell that the election was stolen, so we got a bunch of fraud freaks running this show anyway. So I've done the homework on it. The numbers don't match. They did the same thing they did in Venezuela. So you can research it for yourself. But, it's... this whole thing is just a ball of wax. So the prayer thing is great. We need prayer.
Yeah.
We need to up this game. It's time to up the game, baby.
Yeah, good point. Trey, thanks for calling in and sharing that. And again, going back to prayer, which some people, no, hold on a second. You study the scriptures, old and new, and how often does God say, don't do anything? Just everybody sit down, shut up, and pray. Don't do nothing else. God not directing anybody. Jesus not directing anybody. The apostles not directing anybody to go and do. It's just pray. Now, we should do nothing without prayer. But more often than not, prayer isn't the only thing you should do. Let's go to my friend Cindy here in Raleigh. All right, Cindy, thanks for calling. Good to hear from you. Go right ahead.
Yeah, so I wanted to address Leroy. I agree we need to pray. There's no question we need to pray. But if you were going in for open-heart surgery, and before you went in, the nurses were all gathering in the hall and saying, oh, my goodness, the surgeon is drunk, would you just say, well, let's just pray for him. Let's pray for him, and let's just hope for the best.
Yeah.
Or would you say, we better move him over because he's not in the mental condition to do open-heart surgery? That is where we are with Joe Biden.
That's
my grandmother
point.
Had dementia. My mom has dementia. My dad is not a believer, and when I talk to my dad, he rants and raves about how angry he is that they're allowing Joe Biden to be leading this country in the condition he's in.
Man.
Stages of dementia, there are many stages. You do not start out where you end up. And Joe Biden, if you even look back 6 months ago,
yeah.
not where he is today.
Right.
Watch his eyes. His eyes, when he stares off into space, that whispering thing was beyond disturbing. I don't know if you saw the clip where he was wandering around at the G7. He's literally wandering around on the stage. Jill comes running in from the right-hand corner. She comes running in from the wings and grabs him and says, Joe, focus, focus. Now, you asked yourself, would Barbara Bush do that? Would Laura Bush do that? Would Michelle Obama do that? There is nobody. Would Hillary
no
Clinton
way.
Do that? There is nobody. that would ever do that with their husband.
You don't, you don't embarrass your husband like that.
Right,
and you don't embarrass the president of the United States like that.
Exactly.
Or to tell the rest of the world.
Because
it's like a big scream to the rest of the world. Hold up your big sign. Put up your poster board sign that says, unfortunately, the president of the United States is incapacitated right now. Well, okay, great.
And I think they haven't moved him out because they know Kamala's not ready. I mean, she just does not garner the support. She doesn't make the right moves.
Yeah.
Two of her top aides quit today. And there's just all kinds of chaos in her own staffing because they're not ready. So this whole thing, like the last caller said, it's a house of wax. It's a house of cards. It's about to come down. So we definitely should pray. And what we should pray for is people to have courage to enact the 25th Amendment and to set up the right next government, because that's going to take an act of serious courage for people to begin to this in a thoughtful manner. It's not vindictive. It's serious. And we can be serious Christians and talk about it without feeling ashamed.
Yeah, that's a great point. And that is it's thoughtful and it's considerate. It's not vindictive. And we need to remember that. That's just sober-minded, cool-minded, sober thinking. That's all that is. That's not even political. That's compassionate. And it's logical.
Right.
It's wisdom.
And the Bible tells us to be sober and alert. And so we need to be sober and take a sober assessment. And you cannot soberly watch him and listen to the clip you just played and say, wow, I feel good about him. You cannot.
You cannot. All right, let me switch gears right quick, because I'm pretty sure you'll have an opinion on this. So if you could pick who's going to run against Biden in 2024, Biden, Kamala, whoever's in there, and you can't do both, you can't mix the ticket, would you pick Trump or would you pick DeSantis at this point?
Trump all the way. I was just down in Florida and I got to spend a little bit of time, not, you know, just in those kind of rope liney things with DeSantis.
Yeah.
He just doesn't have the charisma to garner all of the, he's just not there yet either. I mean, he's a very good governor. He's really forceful, but he's just not a charismatic. Yes, people love him. People want to support him and he's doing the right thing, but he cannot fire up a crowd like Trump can. And it's going to take a big movement like it did before, because they're going to fight and cheat every step of the way.
Oh, yeah. No question about it. Cindy, always great to hear from you. Look forward. We'll have Cindy back on in the near future, because she just spent a whole week down on the border, and we're going to get your report and your testimony on that in the near future. Cindy, thanks for calling. Appreciate you, sister.
Thanks.
All right. Talk to you later. And all right. So we're going to switch gears here. If you want to talk about, we got one more segment. Okay. So if you want to talk about that, I'd love to hear from you. DeSantis or Trump, one or the other, can't pick both. Cindy made some great points. I don't agree with her, but they're good points. I'm going to take a different position, but what's yours? 866-348-7884, 866-34-TRUTH. We'll be right back.
There's a man going around taking names.
Okay, there's a man going around taking names. So let's fast forward a little bit.
And who to blame.
And we'll go to the 2024 presidential election. And you could only pick one, Trump or DeSantis. Okay, so I asked that question earlier today on the Facebook page, on the radio show page. And right now, I asked it, when did I do that? That was earlier today at 3 hours ago, okay? So I've got 748 people that have commented. A good chunk of them, at least half, because I had to come back in and change the rules of the game, because I said, 2020, now listen to this. We just don't obey well. 2024, DeSantis or Trump? Now, that is a close-ended question. DeSantis or, operative word, Trump. Meaning, what I wanted you to do is answer either or. DeSantis or Trump. Either Ron DeSantis or Donald Trump. Okay? Either or. Not both. But a bunch of people who want to have their cake and eat it too answered both. All right, fine. That's because they're dealing with the tension of that. And they wanted to get out of it, I guess. And so, whatever. Fine. You want to play that game. But other than those people, because both, I would say take those people out of the game. It's still more Trump than DeSantis, but it's not overwhelming. It's not overwhelming. A lot of people are just waxing on and on and on and on, which is fine. Facebook and things like that are good. On and on and on and on. But if you take the both out of it, because there are so many people. How about both? Both. They're awesome. We need DeSantis back in Florida. Both. They would be great. Trump at the top of the ticket. DeSantis as the vice president, which that would obviously be fun. It's not going to be the other way around. You know that. But it's, I would say it's maybe 60-40, Trump, DeSantis. And that kind of proves the point that I was just saying. It doesn't prove it, but it leans in that direction of saying what happened since Trump has left office. So every day that goes by, a little more of the Trump hysteria in terms of pro-Trump dies down a little bit. And the sting of the loss dies down a little bit. And you get you start to, and we should all do this anyway, especially if you're a Christian. You should never make a decision when you're emotionally charged, right? That's just wisdom. So then you go, okay, hold on a second. And some of you aren't going to like this. When I look at Ron DeSantis in terms of policy, decision-making, leadership, he is a non-belligerent Trump. Trump is belligerent. Okay, now you can immediately say, oh, that's negative. Yeah. I voted for him twice, okay? But he's belligerent, meaning he's not playing by anybody's rules. And I know a lot of us like that, in our flesh especially. Mow everybody over. You know, dang liberals, blah, 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 the liberal press, blah, blah, blah. Get out the sickle, man, and go at it. I get that. That's why he got into office. Now, is the guy like that? Is he a one-term president? Well, he is so far. But his ego is enormous, and that's at play. So could you really imagine Donald Trump, especially in the first 6 months or 12 months, saying, yeah, I'm not going back. You're just going to take your loss and get on with your life? No. But in a couple of years, I don't know. We'll see. They're going to be, to a certain extent, they're going to be looking at the numbers, because you'd have to be an idiot not to. And the guy's made a lot of money dealing with numbers. So he's going to look at that. And then his ego is in play. But I'm not coming at this from that perspective. I'm coming at it from a governance perspective. Where have we been? How's the country reacting to that? And obviously DeSantis is doing all kinds of things right now to prep himself for that, to set himself up for that. You just look at some of the bills they're passing. Now they're passing a bill about they're going to make sure they teach all their public school students about communism and socialism and how it's failed. And he had another bill recently against critical race theory, and another bill recently instituting a moment of silence, 1 to 2 minutes in every public school in Florida. You can pray. You cannot pray. You can pray to Jesus. You can pray to Brahma, whatever you want to do. You can sit there and think about video games for a minute or two. But in the law, they're saying, and again, obviously the Florida legislature is a part of this, but in the law, they're saying, hey, listen, this whole society, we're not contemplative. We're in a hurry. We think this would be good for young people's mental health to just hold on a second, just hit the pause button, just a minute or two. You want to pray? Just want to reflect? You just want to chill? You want to talk, think about your video games, whatever. But we're gonna hit the timeout button for a minute or two. And all kinds of stuff that's really people like. And then the mask thing, he handled the mask thing well and opening up well, and he got hammered for it. And I agree. Cindy called in earlier. DeSantis doesn't have the big, huge MAGA personality that Donald Trump does. Donald Trump's a TV guy, right? That's who he is. That's part of his deal. DeSantis isn't like that. DeSantis, I think, in many ways has governed a lot like Trump, but without Trump's edge and personality and bombacity. Okay. And I think given where the country is and what we've experienced, and I think there's no small amount of Republicans that probably are like, yeah, I love the policies, but man, if we could get the other part under control, like, can you be as tough as he was without Twitter? I don't know. That's an awful big bat to swing. So there's a lot of calculus here you simply can't do. But I look at DeSantis and go, as a kind of a corrective measure to the Trump, do you really think the country will go Trump again? And if you think they messed around with the election last time, it might be worse this time if he ran. I don't know, but it's something to think about. And so the question is, which is more effective? Because if you run Trump and lose, or you run DeSantis and win, which would you pick? Well, I know what you would pick. And so back to Leroy, this is something we should, if you're a conservative, if you're a Republican, you better be praying for wisdom and discernment for all of those involved, which we'd like to think is us, but there's more going on than just we, the people. And so we need to be strategic. And who knows what's going to happen in the next year and a half, 2 years. Remember that? I read that somewhere. Your life is like a mist. It's here for a moment, then it's gone. And it also said, I was talking about these guys, hey, let's go to this place, let's change cities, let's go to the other side of the country, we'll do some business, we'll make a little money, we'll take a vacation, it'll be sweet. But what you should say is, God willing, we'll go here and do this and do that. So God's providence is here. He lifts up, he takes down. Joe Biden's in office because by God's providence, that's the deal. All right? Sometimes God is like the old hold the pickles, hold the lettuce, special orders don't upset us. All we ask is that you let us serve it your way. Sometimes that's the way God deals with us. He just sets you loose. Romans 1. Okay, fine. Do it your way. Let's see how that works. That happened over and over again with the people of Israel. Then you get the judges. You get kings. You get all that. Fine. Do it your way. Go ahead. You want a king? Fine. Let me give you a little warning about what's going to happen if you have a king. You don't want me to be your leader. And you want a king? Okay, fine. But let me give you some warnings here. This is going to happen. But he let him. So you got to be careful with that. Just in case you don't know much about Ron DeSantis. He was born on September 14th, 1978 in Jacksonville, Florida, the son of Karen and Ronald DeSantis. He's of Italian descent. His family moved to Orlando, Florida before relocating to Dunedin, or whatever that's called in Florida, when he was 6 years old. In 1991, he was a member of the Little League team from Dunedin National that made it to the Little League World Series in Williamsburg, Pennsylvania. Well, that's cute, but I don't know why that matters. After graduating from Dunedin High School in 1997, DeSantis attended Yale University, a conservative at Yale. By the way, did you hear him the other day talking about needing to pull on the full armor of God? Your average cultural Christian in America doesn't even know what that is because they haven't read the Bible. So that was pretty cool. He was captain of Yale's varsity baseball team and joined the Delta Kappa Epsilon fraternity. On the Yale baseball team, DeSantis was an outfielder. As a senior in 2001, he had the team's best batting average at .336. That's good. He graduated from Yale in 2001 with a BA magna cum laude in history. He then spent a year as a history teacher at the Darlington School. DeSantis then attended Harvard Law School. Wow. Graduating in 2005 with a Juris Doctor cum laude. DeSantis received his Reserve Naval Officer's Commission and assigned to the Judge Advocate General's Corps, JAG Corps, in 2004 at the U.S. Naval Reserve Center in Dallas, Texas, while still a student at Harvard Law School. So it's like, I wasn't aware before that his resume was this impressive. He completed Naval Justice School in 2005. Later that year, he received orders to the JAG Trial Service Office Command Southeast and Naval Station Mayport, Florida, as a prosecutor. In 2006, he was promoted from lieutenant, junior grade, to lieutenant. He worked for the commander of Joint Task Force Guantanamo, Jack Nicholson, by the way, working directly with detainees at the Guantanamo Bay Joint Detention Facility. 2007, DeSantis reported to the Naval Special Warfare Command Group in Coronado, California, where he was assigned to SEAL Team 1 and deployed to Iraq with the troop surge as the legal advisor to the SEAL Commander, Special Operations Task Force West in Fallujah. Wow. DeSantis returned to the U.S. in April 2008, at which time he was reassigned to the Naval Region Southeast Legal Service. The U.S. Department of Justice appointed him to serve as an assistant U.S. attorney at the U.S. Attorney's Office in the Middle District of Florida. DeSantis was assigned as a trial defense counsel until his honorable discharge from active duty in February 2010. He concurrently accepted a reserve commission as a lieutenant in the Judge Advocates General Corps of the U.S. Navy. He was awarded the Bronze Star Medal, the Navy and Marine Corps Commendation Medal, the Global War on Terrorism Service Medal, and the Iraq Campaign Medal. Okay, so no slouch, obviously. Is he more of the regular political candidate that we would be super excited about in the past if Trump had never gotten into the game? Yes. Is he more bold than just about every Republican governor out there? Yes. He's more bold than just about every Republican on the Hill. And that's the beauty of a governor. And a governor is a mini president in a really large state, in an important state, and in a state that loves him. And you got to have Florida if you're going to win the presidency. It'll be interesting. My preference is DeSantis. Might not be yours. Might not be God's. And ultimately, God's the one with the final vote, is he not? And guess what? I'm good with that. I'm totally fine with that. Praise the Lord. All right, have a great weekend coming up on July 4th, which is awesome. And let's thank God for that and continue to pray for our nation as we should, according to Scripture. This is Steve Noble and the Steve Noble Show. God willing, we'll talk again real soon. And like my dad always used to say, ever forward.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.